Welcome team, goodbye team. I can't remember everything because when I'm on here, I get complete blanks. But doing stage or worship or a part of anything, stickers, cards, anything. If you are a part of anything in conference, can you please stand? And please don't make me have to go, oh, you were a part of it. Can you stand? Can you just stand? And if you were a kid and you can hear me and you had to come in because your parents dragged you and made you eat takeaway food because they couldn't cook for you and dragged you in, you can stand too because you got to be here and be a part of it too. I want you guys to all look at each other, not face me, look at each other and look around, and I want you to thank each other and just clap with each other and say, well done. We pulled off our first conference here at C3 Stan. It was incredible. It was amazing. We saw salvations. We saw rededications. We saw people hear from God for themselves. We saw people speak words from God to other people. We saw people get delivered from stuff in themselves. We saw healings. We saw so many things at conference, and it was incredible. And there were moments where there were so many different oppositions that were happening, but God came through in every single moment. And some of the hardest moments were the most powerful moments. And that's how you know that God was in this place, that God just kept coming through and coming through and coming through and coming through. And I'm going to try and not get emotional in any of it, but it was incredible. And you all did it with each other. And that was what was amazing. And to go, there was like a deadline. Chairs are still coming, people. Chairs are still coming. It said that they've shipped. We're still waiting for them, but they're still coming. But to have this deadline and to go, this has all happened, like, it wasn't for conference, but to have it for the Saturday morning, that was just incredible. It was a beautiful moment to say we stood together at C3 Stand and we did this together. So that was just a really incredible moment. So I'm not saying thank you from me, just thank you with each other. I mean, thank you from me, but not thank you from, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, we're at the end of winter. Who loves that? I mean, I don't know if you love winter. I'm sorry. I'm not here with you. We're at the last day of winter. We've had the most rain since 1996, and I heard someone say in 1986. I'm not sure which one, but one of the sixes. So say 1996 because I heard that more often. 1996, more rain than that. We had the coldest day since I don't know how many years. It has been cold. It has been long, and it's not just the season. I know for me, and I know for so many people that I've spoken to, this season has been personal too. People have gone through such a winter season. We are at the last day of winter, and we get to choose to say we're going into spring, and it's anew, and it's blossoming, and there's newness, and there's renewal. There's so many things that come in with spring, and transitions. And so many of us got words through conference. So many of us, we did like speed dating conference, not speed dating. We called it speed dating, speed prophesying. So everybody sort of that came got words, and some of those are transitional words. Some people are here transitioning into this church, and so it's new. And we see that when the Israelites were saved from Egypt, they sort of were in this moment of doubt and going, oh, I sort of want to go back, even though they were saved. So transitions are always a little bit hard when you're going through that. Transitionings of words are always hard when you go, how do I drop something to go into that new? How does that look now? So if you did get a word and you're going, okay, God is now shifting me from a winter into spring, like we're all going into, lean into him, because that's the only way that you're going to get into your spring is by leaning into him. And we need each other. I definitely needed people to tell me that we're in all in service, because I had a full message planned for today, and if it wasn't for Natasha and Jess telling me it's all in service, it was still not getting in my head, and I'm still got my whole message going. And then something clicked that they both told me at separate times we're in all in service, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to cut my whole sermon right in half and go, how does it relate to kids at the same time? But the kids are all doing something. So I think they're doing a Father's Day thing, or they're doing colouring in and they're doing stuff like this. So anyway, I've cut it right in half. So let me just pray for this message. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that this is your words, God. Thank you, Father, that it's your voice that we hear, Lord. Thank you that you meet us exactly where we're at, God. And we just ask, Jesus, that whatever you want us to hear this morning that we hear, Father, and whatever distractions that we have, God, that you take them away, God. And it's all you and not us, Father, that we hear your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've cut this right back, right? So I'm going to sort of do an overview of what I was going to do. So in chapter 3 in Ephesians, Paul was speaking to believers and he was saying, I want you to experience God's love to the core, basically. Not just know it, I want you to feel it. I want you to feel it so much that you embody it and become that for others, for generations, right? Because we can know it, and this is believers, we can know it, but he wanted them to really experience it. And so then they could be that for other people, the same as us. So we can know. We don't just know his love, know his word, but we actually experience his love. And we experience it to the core that we can then embody this love, that this comes out of us for other people. We are loved into loving. So we become love. This morning, the whole title for this message is Whose Voice is Louder? And so whatever age group, we all have voices. We all listen to ourselves. We all hear a voice. And when we were doing the prophetic morning on the Saturday morning, it was sort of like, how do we know if it's our voice? How do we know if it's God's voice? I'm not going to do a teaching. That's not me doing it. But if you were here, this was sort of what we were going through. How do you know? And Vicky's always one that says, you know, if it's headed towards blessing people and it's smarter than you, it's not you. It's not you, it's God. And you could not come up with that, things like that. And she was leading us in the direction of why it would be God and why it wouldn't be us if he had been praying on something for months and all of a sudden you get this thought and it blesses other people and it orients towards God. Well, then it's not you. You didn't just come up with that. So whose voice is louder? And maybe we're at conference and we hear something, or you could be at another church or someone could speak to you and you hear something and you go, is that God? Is that not God? And I want to read a couple of different point of views here. So Matthew 14, 31, 35. On the way, Jesus told them, so we read the story of Jesus heading to the cross, and before he makes his way to the garden, he tells Peter, you're about to deny me, right? So on the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. No, Peter insisted. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. If everybody else, I won't. And Jesus says to him, well, in fact, you will. You'll deny me three times. But no, I won't. So whose voice was louder? His or the voice of Jesus? So you've got the King of the universe, who they all know is. They all declare who Jesus is. We know the story of Peter, how he goes on and builds his church and all that. But this particular moment, he knows who Jesus is. But his voice is louder. He says, no, I won't. In that moment, so I'm going to shorten all of this, right? In that moment, he says, the truth of Jesus, when he's trying to give Peter, this is the revelation. Imagine if Peter just went, you know what? Because Neil, everything you set up here in the link was everything here. In that surrender, when Jesus is going, this is the truth of what you're going to do. I'm telling you what you're going to do, Peter. Listen to me, Peter. And he says, no, my character should speak for itself. I know me and I won't. We all have that sort of, like, I will not do this. And Jesus says, but you will. So when Jesus is trying to speak to us, whose voice is louder? Because sometimes in our weakness, because Peter didn't want to see his weakness, he wanted to see, no, my character is stronger than your word, God, than your word. And in that moment, he could have had that restoration where, imagine if he turned around and said, will I, Lord? Then tell me what to do. Imagine if he just said, all right, I surrender. Tell me how not to. What in my character is going to make me not? Because sometimes we too can go, you know what, I won't do that. I'm stronger than that. I've been saved for 20, 30, 40, all my life. I won't do that. But Jesus, if we listen, might say, you're on the verge here. Maybe you need to come to me a little bit more. Maybe you need to hear me a little bit more. Maybe your ears need to lend to me a little bit more. Maybe you need to hear me a little bit more. John 13:20 to 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, earlier in the night, I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me, and who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, this really should be sort of like an Easter message, but I felt it now, and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another perplexed. Some versions say at a loss, some said wondered. They were unsettled about whom he spoke. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore motioned to him to ask, who is it of whom he spoke? Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said, Lord, who is it? I love this picture. Because you think of John, you think of this young boy, and you think of him leaning on the chest of Jesus, and you have this picture, and if you vision, like visualize, but John leaning on his chest, all the disciples are going, who is it? I want to know. But he's leaning on his chest. He doesn't jump up. He doesn't panic. I wonder if it's me. Lord, it won't be me. I'm insisting that's not my character. I'm insisting it won't be me. He leans back on Jesus. Lord, who is it? There's a difference in surrender and the openness to hear what Jesus says. To the insisting, I'm going to insist this is my character before you even tell me who this is, or before I even listen to the truth of what you're actually telling me. John's posture was one of leaning on Jesus, one of surrender on Jesus, one of I'm safe, I'm here, I'm on you, I'm okay. You tell me. It was this position of leaning in, not this position of insisting, I'll show you my character. In our lives, whether we're young to whether we're old. We're going to hear our own voices. We're going to think we know our own character. Our lives are going to shape us. Our history is going to shape us. Our childhood's going to shape us. What happened yesterday is going to shape us. What we hold on to is going to shape us. What someone said to us is going to shape us. And when the moment that Jesus speaks to us, we get to choose, I will show my character or I will open my ears to hear what he says to me. That's either going to grow us or it's going to keep us. Because what happened with Peter, it broke him. What happened with John, it brought him to the cross. Because his posture of surrender brought him all the way to the feet of the cross. Peter's insistence of who I am, and I'll show you who I am, broke him. So this morning before we end and we go off to lunch, what Neil had set up here was the whole thing. There could be things in your life. It could be pride. It could be unforgiveness. It could be ego. It could be anything that we're all going through. We all have it, all of us. None of us are exempt from it, none of us. Somebody will come up and press and push on your character, and you will fight because you want to show this is the person that I am. But what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying to you? What does he need to wash you of? What does he need to clear you of? What is it in you that he's going, I want to remove that from you? When you hear that, what is it in you that he goes, I want to lift that from you? Is it anger? Is it pride? Is it jealousy? Is it ego? Is it position hungry? Is it, I don't know, unforgiveness? I don't know. You know. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. I'm not. So what is it? What is it? And he says, just lean on me. Peter made promises. John made space to listen. So are you making space to listen? Are you making space to listen? So the question for us today, going from winter to spring, I'm actually really excited. It's the end of winter. We all know this. Will we remain in winter's voice? Because winter, we know, is just really gloomy, is really dark, makes us wait. It's like it can go, we can be in isolation. It's like the longer nights. And spring speaks of newness. Spring speaks of renewal. Spring speaks of longer days. Spring speaks of all of that. We get that choice to lean in and hear what Jesus is saying to us. To lean in and wake up in the morning and go, what is it that you want to say to me? Make space for what he wants to say to me. Let's be disciples, not who insist the loudest, but who lean in the closest. Not who insist the loudest, but who lean in the closest. Because who doesn't want to be that one that leans in on his chest and then looks up at him and goes, tell me what you want to tell me. Tell me who it is. Tell me who it is. So all of you, close your eyes. I want you to picture this, because I love the picture, so I hope you love the picture too, but that it's you. That you visualize yourself, I want to be the one who's leaning on his chest, that you're leaning on his chest. And someone asks you that picture, or asks, someone asks you that question, and that you look up at him, however that looks in you, your mind. And you're asking him, well, you're asking him the question about you. Tell me, Lord, what is it that you want me to see? But you're leaning on his chest. You're safe, you're rested, you're renewed. You're ready to walk with him. and you just look up at him. Tell me, Lord, what you want me to know. Tell me, Lord, what you want me to remove. Tell me, Lord, what you want to take from me. Tell me, Lord, what you want me to know. Maybe some of you, it's just how loved you actually really are. And that the insisting of the character that you are doesn't need to be fighting for someone to see you, because he sees you already. And maybe that's it. Maybe that is locking eyes with him like we sing. Thank you, Father. We just thank you for every single one here this morning, Lord. I pray everyone here, Father, will lean into you, God, lean on you, Father. We'll know who you are, Jesus. We'll take this picture, whatever's in their mind right now, we'll take this picture, and this picture will be their safe place from here, Father. That they're leaning on your chest, God, that they're locking eyes with you, Father, that they're looking up at you, God, and you're speaking to them, Lord. May they hear your voice, Father, like they've never heard it before, Father. May you speak to them, God. May they hear you clearly, Father. May you guide all of us, God. May you walk with us the way you say you walk with us, and may we feel you close, Father, that not one of us feels alone, Father, because we're not, that you have made home in every single one of us, God. So we thank you, Jesus, that we don't need to fight for our character. We don't need to insist of who we are. We don't need to show who we are. We don't even need to show you who we are, God. You know who we are, but we just need to rest in you and who you say we are. May we hear your words when you say we need to change something, remove something, or that we're doing something. May we hear you, Father. However that looks, God, may we be open to hear our flaws. May we be open to hear what you want to change in us, God. May we be open to those words, Jesus. Thank you, Father. While your eyes are closed, if anyone's never received the Lord as their Lord and Savior, or have walked away and want to do a recommitment, just pop up your hand and we can pray with you. If anyone's here this morning, never made a decision this morning, or have walked away and want to recommit your life. All right, so I pray you will all lean into him more this morning and forever. So let's all stand. I'll grab the band up. Guys, see, I cut that in half. All right, if you do want prayer, if something that was said is pressing on you, and like what Neil said, the altar is open. So if you're going, you know what, God is really speaking to me, I want prayer for a particular thing that he's speaking to me about, the altar is open, the worship is going. Otherwise, feel free to worship, and then we're going to get ourselves ready for lunch. Thank you, God. Whose voice is loudest? Such an important question that we need to ask ourselves constantly along the way of our walk. Let's just spend a few minutes just worshiping and thanking God, and let him speak to you.